So I better identify myself. I'm Joy Behar. Sitting in for Leonard Lopate on NPR, and I'm now. I want to talk to. Change the topic a little bit, because ever since the attack on Charlie Hebdo in Paris, people here in America have been talking about free speech and the potential pitfalls of being allowed to say literally anything. Now, some Americans have even appropriated the phrase "Je suis Charlie" in honor of their cover following the attacks and in support of the magazine. But the ideas and laws surrounding free speech in France are very different from the ones here in the United States. Faiza Patel, I say that right, is co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU's School of Law. And the program aims to ensure that American counterterrorism laws and policies respect our notions of freedom and human rights. And she joins us now to talk about free speech, the laws that exist to support it, and how they play out here in the United States. Faiza, can I call you Faiza?
Faiza.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Appreciate
it. You know, I'm concerned about the First Amendment because I'm a public speaker,
sure.
And I've gotten into plenty of trouble. Believe me, no one has ever arrested me.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to say things that aggravate politicians, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I have good company. I've got Jon Stewart and Bill Maher and the rest of them also doing the same thing. And I can't even conceive of not being able to do that in this country, you know. But I want to know, I'm a comedian. How does the First Amendment really, why is it important to the average person living out there in America? What do they care?
Well, I think the First Amendment is kind of fundamental to our democracy, right? Because our democracy is built on this idea that we have this marketplace of ideas and people should be able to express themselves, whether it's about politics or about mm-hmm. religion. And the best answer will emerge by hearing all the different viewpoints that are out there.
Right.
So think about a political campaign, right? You want to hear what each side thinks of the issues of the day so that we can all make up our minds about who we want to vote for.
Right.
That's sort of the essence of free speech. It underlies our democracy.
Right. Right. But do you think that there's a limit to what you should be able to say? Should there be limits on the First Amendment? You know, I always feel the Second Amendment mm-hmm. in a certain way is out of control. What the average mm-hmm. the average mental case can get an AK-47 without a background check. To me, that's insanity. So I say to myself, well, does that hold true for the First Amendment? Is there such a thing as free speech going too far?
Well, I mean, we do have laws that constrain free speech, right? So you can't, for example, incite violence. So you can't go on your radio show and say, you know, go and kill Mr. X because he's done terrible things.
Right.
That would not be allowed under our free speech
and
laws.
And you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
And you can't yell, yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
But what... The difference between the United States and Europe is really these hate speech laws, right? So in Europe, you have this idea that you can't make speech that disrespects particular individuals based on their religion, based on their race, based on their ethnicity, things of that nature. Now, the trouble with those kinds of laws, and we've seen this play out in the wake of the Paris attacks, is that, you know, what's insulting to me may not be insulting to you, right? So there's like a really large spectrum of things that people talk about, which there's just a really difficult to draw the line between what is hate speech and what is somebody simply expressing their opinion. And so one of the ironic things after the Paris attacks was we had this huge rally, right, mm-hmm. in Paris.
Yeah.
Millions marching, Je suis Charlie, all about free speech. And the week after that, the French arrested 50 people, some of them minors, for hate speech violations.
Because? What did they say?
So we don't know all of the cases, but one of them is this very famous comedian who's very anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
He says lots and lots of hateful things. And he was arrested because he put up a Facebook post that said, Je suis Charlie Obdulé, who's the name of one of the attackers, right? Now, What does that mean exactly? Like, does that mean necessarily that he's supporting the attackers? And even if he is, should we really be putting him in prison because he might have some ideological affinity with the people who carried out these terrible attacks? I think that's a really difficult question.
So do they then assume that this comedian is more dangerous than, let's say, Charbonnier, the guy who was behind the Hebdo things?
Well, yeah.
Is this guy more dangerous? Is he inciting, like, don't yell fire in a theater? Is he inciting a riot by what he says? And whereas these pictures, which are, you know, pretty rough pictures, are not inciting a riot?
I mean, I think that's...
I don't get that.
Yeah. So their law isn't about inciting a riot. It isn't like our law. It's simply the fact that you say something or publish something that is against a religion or a race, etc. So the question becomes, is there a double standard operating over here? Because on the one hand, the French are holding up Charlie Hebdo as a sort of symbol of free speech. And on the other hand, they're going against people who are, frankly, anti-Semitic and say very unpleasant things, but are being prosecuted criminally for what they're saying.
Is that because of the history in Europe of anti-Semitism and the Holocaust and, you know, everything else, and things happened in France also?
Absolutely. I mean, certainly that's where those laws originate from, right?
Because in this country, we don't have this type of, I mean, you know, the famous story of the ACLU defending the Nazis who marched in Skokie. In this country, we're pretty casual about stuff like but we'll defend to the death these horrible people so that let them march so the others can march.
Right. And that's exactly sort of our model, which is let everybody speak and the best ideas will rise to the top.
But we don't have the same history here.
Well, we do have a history of anti-Semitism here.
Yes, but nobody was rounded up and thrown into a concentration camp in America.
Sure. But I think that the point really is that...
Except I take issue with what I just said. There was the Japanese. Right. That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, I think it's certainly not as bad as what happened in Europe and in Germany with all of the camps and the deaths over there and a very painful history for France. But again, it becomes a very slippery slope, right? Because what's funny to me may be offensive to you. And certainly what Charlie Hebdo did was offensive to millions of people around the world. And we've seen so many protests, sometimes violent, across the world against what's been happening, the kinds of cartoons that have been published by Charlie Hebdo. So certainly there's a lot of people whose sensitivities are being really touched on here.
Well, in Germany, it's against the law to wear a swastika or to invoke Hitler's name and all that stuff. And I wonder if that really works because it's there anyway. You know, the solution to bad speech is more speech.
Right. That's certainly been principle. The U.S. perspective. Yeah. And then, you know, in Germany, just the other day, it was reported that the guy who led this very strong anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim movement in Germany, he had to resign because they came across pictures of him dressed up as Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't deny that there is this sort of racism that runs through a lot of these guys.
When it becomes sanctioned by the state is when people really have to start worrying about anti-Muslim, anti-Semitism, etc. People, just regular people acting crazy and stupid is not cause for incarceration, in my opinion. But that's, I live here.
Right.
Live here. So, you know, I noticed that I don't see pictures of Muhammad and the Hebdo things in American newspapers. New York Times did not publish any of the pictures that were so offensive in Paris. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the New York Times doesn't publish pictures that are unnecessarily offensive across the board. So they wouldn't publish pictures that were making fun of Jesus or pictures that were making fun of the Torah either.
Why?
So
what are they afraid of that the Hebdo and the Parisians are not afraid of?
I don't think it's a question of being afraid of anything per se. I think it's a question of saying, well, what adds journalistic value to our newspapers? And you don't see the mainstream U.S. newspapers, any of them, publishing these cartoons.
No, so it's self-censorship, really, isn't it?
Well, I mean, newspapers always make a judgment, right, about what information they think is newsworthy and what information they think shouldn't be in the news, right? And so they made the judgment that actually putting up the cartoons wasn't part of reporting the news. And frankly, they're easily available anywhere. You don't need to go to the New York Times to see these cartoons. They're all over the internet. So I don't really have a problem with them doing that.
You don't? Oh, no, I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's interesting. that, you know, not one newspaper published those pictures.
Right, but think of it this way, right? Supposing there was some very anti-Semitic cartoon, right, published in France that was very controversial and people were protesting about it. Would you expect the New York Times to publish that cartoon?
I don't know. Some of the pictures that I've seen, the Hebdo pictures, they make the Muhammad, I guess, look with a big nose. It was very reminiscent of 1939 in Germany, where they did the same thing to the Jewish population.
Right.
I mean, there seems to be a double standard about that sort of thing also. I have liberal friends, lefty friends, who are annoyed with Charbonnier for publishing those pictures and inciting this type of violence around the world. I don't know. I can't decide where I come out 100% because it's a tricky one for Americans to wrap their heads around this.
Well, I mean, I think the way we've sort of dealt with free speech is actually the right way. I think any other way has such a great slippery slope of sort of going down into censorship that I tend to be a free speech absolutist. I don't think that the government should get involved in criminalizing speech. Now, if speech is inciting violence, that's another question. But our laws already deal with that, so we don't need to go there.
But the speech of Hebdo did inspire violence. So looking back on it, maybe it's considered hate speech then in that
case. Well, it didn't incite violence, right? It wasn't saying you guys should go out and do something violent.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction to it was violent, but I'm not sure that I would hold Hebdo responsible for that.
I'm happy to talk to you. We've gotten around this. I'm not really sure whether I've accomplished anything in this interview. I just think there are so many questions around it. You know, the Pope.
The Pope.
Weighing in on this, that you shouldn't make fun of people's religions. I don't totally agree with that. I'm a satirist myself. You know, you can make fun. I don't do it necessarily because it doesn't interest me that much. But I think you should be able to make fun of people's religions, too. Some of it is silly. And even religious people will admit that, you know?
I think that's right. I mean, I think we shouldn't have any sacred cows that we can't make fun of.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you so much. I've been speaking with Faiza Patel. Right. Like the actor. From Slumdog Millionaire. Isn't that his name? Patel?
That is his name.
I believe
that's
it
right.
is. She's the co-director of the Brennan Center for Justice's Liberty and National Security Program. The program seeks to ensure that our counterterrorism laws and policies respect human rights, norms, and fundamental freedoms. Thank you so much for joining us.